born to deliver. As I read the text for this morning, the opening lines of Try Again by the late R&B singer Aaliyah came to mind. On this track, her producer Timbaland proclaims, "It's been a long time. We shouldn't have left you without a dope beat to step to." Now, many of you are like scratching your heads and wondering, what is the pastor talking about? Well, I'm talking about the fact that Aaliyah had not had an album out for 5 years when this song came out in 2001. 5 years had passed between this single and her last album. Now, in the music world, much like other fields, a 5-year hiatus is an excruciatingly long time to be not heard from. We live in a Janet Jackson, "What have you done for me lately" kind of world, and 5 years is enough time to forget someone altogether, to question if they even still exist, and to wonder if we will ever hear from them again. In much the same way, it is after an extended silence that God finally speaks to the Israelites through the voice of the prophet Isaiah. It had been a long time coming for the Israelites. Prior to chapter 40, the news spoken in God's name was a difficult word of judgment. The people had rebelled against God. They lived at the expense of their neighbors. They forfeited their relationship with God, and they put the desires of their hearts before the needs of the community. Chapters 1 through 39 of Isaiah focus on judgment and point to a time when Jerusalem would be destroyed and a portion of the population would go into exile. But by chapter 40, the word of judgment is passed. Just as Isaiah prophesied to King Hezekiah in chapter 39, Jerusalem had been destroyed and many of its citizens had been taken into exiles. Scholars believe that our text this morning picks up 160 years later. 160 years. By any measurement, that's a long time. Thank you, Jack. Jack said, "That's a long time." That's a long time. In the 160 years between chapter 39 and chapter 40, Judah saw the rise of the superpower Babylon, the death of a good king in Josiah, the destruction of the temple, the march into exile of its citizens, and many painful years of separation and subjugation. During this expanse of time, it seemed as if God had left the Israelites alone in their exile. But the words of the prophet insist that God had not forgotten the Israelites. Rather than meeting them with more words of destruction and division, they are met with words of comfort and hope. Isaiah provides a joyful refrain that introduces this unexpected reversal of fortunes. "Comfort, comfort, my people," says your God. "Speak compassionately to Jerusalem." These words are a comfort to a people still in Babylonian captivity because they declare that their future would be better than their past. The future will be better because God is committed to them, has compassion for them, and will come to be with them. The text says, "Comfort, comfort my people." Now, I don't know if you caught it or not, but this is a revolutionary word from God the Lord, because God's continued commitment to Israel is summed up in the possessive pronoun my. God uses the word my, and my tells us that even after all that Israel has done to earn the disfavor and disengagement of God, God has decided to continue to maintain relationship with them. The reality is that the Israelites were, are, and will always be a sinful people. Now, before I get accused of anti-Semitism, let me be clear. We are Israelites too. We were, are, and will always be a sinful people. But because the Israelites participated in a system of retributive justice, some might say that their time spent in exile was exactly what they deserved. Some might say that they deserved all of the punishment and disengagement that they received from God. They deserved to go into exile because they cheated the poor. They practiced injustice in the courts. They behaved wickedly within the temple, and they refused time and time again to return to the Lord. They got what they deserved. Now, God would have been well within her rights to turn her back on a people who had turned their backs on her. God could have declared, as many of us do, "I will never forgive you for this. And as a matter of fact, I will never speak to you again." But thank God, God is not like us. Despite the ways that we fail to show our commitment to God, God remains committed to us. When God refers to the Israelites as my people, I get all warm on the inside. When I think about God referring to them as my people, saying that they belong to God even in light of all that they have done. Think about the things that you say are yours. When you look at your child and say, "That's my child." When you look at your mother and say, "That is my mother," or "That is my father." When you look at someone you love and you claim them and you put that possessive pronoun in front of who they are and say that they belong to you, woo, I get goosebumps. I get goosebumps thinking about how deep a relationship is when that word "my" is used in front of it. When God refers to the Israelites as my people, God is lifting up and maintaining a covenantal promise that we are never forgotten. We are never alone. We are never unworthy. And we are never unworthy despite all of the ways that we attempt to call it quits with God. God says that you are still mine. God is telling us that there is nothing that we can do to break the eternal bond between God and God's people. God is committed. God is also compassionate. With these words in Isaiah, God is offering a word of restoration and redemption. These words offer us a new way to understand and live into justice that is not just created by empires, kings, or priests, but by the one true God of Israel, the Lord of Isaac, Jacob, Ruth, Rahab, David, and the carpenter Joseph, who will be the stepfather of not just any son, but the very Son of God. Instead of meeting the people with condemnation that they deserve, God met them with compassion. Some translations say, "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Others, like the CEB, say speak compassionately. Either way, what we need to know is that in these verses, God recognized that the children of Israel have paid a high price for their disobedience. God understands that the pain and scars from their exile might cause them to be unprepared for their return to the land. Just like after emergency surgery or illness, we are not thrust out of the hospital, but given some time in the recovery room to pull ourselves together. God, in essence, is saying that the time for healing has begun, and the recovery room is in these words. God begins the recovery process with words of comfort. Let us not miss that there is revolution in the tender words to a stiff-necked people. Rather than meet a people who are already down with more words of condemnation, the process of healing begins with soft words of reconciliation. So often in our lives, we want people to grovel to get back into our good graces. We want them to come on their hands and knees, begging and pleading for us to forgive them and let them back in. We want to make people pay over and 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 over again for the bad things that they may have done to us. But God is not a God of tit for tat. God is not a God of kick a brother or sister when they are down. God tells the children of Israel and tells us that our mistakes won't be held against us forever, and that when we have harmed ourselves with our own disobedience, that what we need is compassion and not condemnation. This week, I have been preaching this sermon to myself. This week, someone that I love has did something that was painful to the family. Someone who is mine, that I call my loved one, did something that harmed the entire family. And I know that other members of the family heaped a whole lot of judgment on this person, yelled at this person, even stopped speaking to the person for a couple of days because of what she did in her youthful foolishness. And I have to admit that I wanted to get on board. I wanted to heap all kinds of words of discouragement and words that would make her understand how much pain she had caused. I wanted to make her understand through all of my lectures and all of my beatings of her on her head, of the words of all the damage that she has done. But as I came to this text, what came to me was this person who made this mistake. What she needed more than my condemnation, more than my wise instruction, more than my long-winded lecture about responsibility, what she needed was a word of compassion, a word of reconciliation, a word of healing that reminds her that despite her mistake, she is still mine. God is compassionate. And finally, God is coming. This prophecy in Isaiah is proclaiming that a revolution of restoration is both coming and it is here. In Advent, we turn our ears to the voice that never stops crying out in the wilderness to us, that calls out us out of exile and into repentance, that asks us to get ready because God is coming to us, to be with us, and to never leave us. In Advent, we remember together that God in Jesus Christ has come to be with us and will come again. The plea of Advent is to get ready, to prepare. Advent is not a season of passive waiting, but of active hope and anticipation for the revolution that comes in the infant cries of the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, the Christ child born in a stable on the outskirts of town. This word of comfort is revolutionary because the relational dynamics between the Creator and the created will be different. The one who was distant and invisible will become close and visible. Jesus Christ was born to deliver comfort to those hurt by a world filled with war, chaos, and oppression, born to deliver a word of compassion to those who have suffered because of the weight of their sins, and born to deliver hope in a hopeless place. The songs of the season encourage us to testify to the good news of this scripture. Testify in our relationships with each other that freedom is coming. Testify in our relationships on our job that compassion is coming. Testify in the midst of this church that Jesus is coming. These are tidings of comfort and joy, and they echo the words of the hymnologist that we sung just moments ago. Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee, Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart, born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever. Now thy gracious kingdom bring.